Good evening again. I can honestly say I think this is the first time that I have ever led music, sang the special, and preached all in the same day. It has been an eventful day for our Baker family. So thank you all for being here tonight. If you've got your Bible, if you will turn to Mark chapter 5. This passage of scripture tonight that we're going to go through, it is one of my favorite scriptures to go through because I think it applies to everybody, no matter who you are, and we'll see that tonight. But as many of y'all know, this week's been pretty hard for our family. We started out Tuesday, we had a back surgery for Dad. As you all know, he was extremely nervous going into this, and you know, rightly so. Back surgery is nothing to joke about, but he came out of surgery, and he said it was an instant relief on his legs, and that was pretty big. So surgery seems to have been a success. Then we go to having Michaela to have gallbladder surgery. My sister, she ended up having that. She'd been having some issues for a few months, not being able to eat and being very uncomfortable, and her surgery went very well. She is resting at the Baker Hospital up on Timber Tree right now at the ward up there. So Nurse Baker, Miss Baker, I don't know, but I just thank her for all of her patience, because as you all know, Dad, he's not the best patient at times. He's not very patient at all, I'll say that. But also on Friday, we got news that my uncle, as you know, he's had a battle with melanoma for over a year now, and it's finally made its way to his brain. It's metastasized there, and they're going to have to do surgery tomorrow to remove that. And it's just been a whirlwind of a week. But as this whole week has been going on, I keep catching myself asking, like, God, why is all of this happening right now? Like, it just seems that wave after wave keeps coming, and it's been hard. I've said it before, life is hard, and I can definitely attest to that it is. But I keep asking myself, and God, why is this happening? And you know what? I don't think, and I know Dad said this last week, I don't think it is wrong to question what God is putting you through at a certain point in time. And where I get that from is, you know, when Jesus, the night that he was arrested, he was in Gethsemane, and he was praying, God, if there is any other way to let this cup pass from me, do it. And we know what that cup is. That cup was crucifixion. That was the only way that we were going to be able to have that salvation to be able to go and live in heaven one day. But as much as I think about things in life, things go through in our life that I think that while we're here on earth, we're never fully going to understand. We're not going to be able to fully comprehend, and that's because we don't have a mind like God. We've got a mind that was born into sin, into this world, and we will not fully be complete and be able to know things like Jesus does until that day that he comes back for us. But going through that this week, it's just been a lot. And the verses tonight, we're going over God's perfect timing. And you know, that timing that God has to us might not seem perfect sometimes. It might seem very inconvenient. We might not understand. We might get very mad. But his timing, it is perfect. It's hard to hear that when you're going through it, but it is perfect what he's got through us. Since we've been back here at Gravely, I'm kind of going to shift for just a second. Since we've been back here at Gravely, one of the things that I have absolutely loved doing is teaching our Awanas on Wednesday nights. So if you all don't know, I teach our 3rd through 5th grade Awanas, and my spiel to you all is if you've never done children's ministry before, I encourage you to do it for at least a year. It will completely change you. It'll show you patience when you know you didn't have it, and you'll never seem more frustrated leaving sometimes with them kids. But I'll tell you, it is absolutely perfect. That's the two things. One, working with kids. Another thing that I think everybody should do in their life is working food at some point in time. You find an unfound respect for your food not coming out on time when you're the one preparing it. I remember I had to do that for about a year at Zaxby's, and that gave me some understanding at what all goes through that. But that's two things you could take away from that. So, but talking about our Awana kids, one thing that always seems to amaze me, and I'll tell you this, our kids here at church, they're a very smart bunch of kids. And there's not a week that goes by that they don't ask me a question that I seem to not know. And it makes you fully step back and be like, I've got to answer this question, and I don't know how. I'll give you two from this past week. And they were both from Walker Derrick over here. So he did this. So first question he asked me, we were talking about Moses and how Moses was talking to God at the burning bush. And Moses told God that you're going to do this, you're going to go to Egypt, you're going to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, and you're going to do this through my power. And Moses, he kept saying no. He was scared. He didn't want to do it. And God got mad at Moses. And Walker looks at me and he asks, he said, why did God get mad at Moses if he knew that he was going to do it in the end? He was going to go ahead and do it. And the answer that I gave, and I was so thankful that God gave me this on the spot, but it was kind of like this. And I told him, I said, you know when your mom and dad asks you to clean your room and they get really mad at you? They know in the end you're going to clean your room one way or another, but they still get really mad. And the reason they get mad at you is because they love you. And they want you to be the best person that you can be and to do things right the first time that they ask you. It's the reason I think God got mad at Moses at that point in time. He knew that Moses was destined to do great things through him, but Moses just had to realize, I'm not the one doing this, it's God. We all know that story keeps going. He still goes back and forth and fights with God at times, but he ends up bringing the Israelites out. Second question Walker also asked me was, how do you know when God is talking to you? That this past week is something that I think that I gave him a very churchy answer, like I think most people would. I told him, I said, through prayer and through reading your Bible. And you know, I started thinking about that afterward, and I was like, you know, that's really easy to spout off, but it's hard to explain when you know that God is talking to you. I told him, I said, I so wish that God would talk to us like he talked to Moses at that burning bush. I know you would freak out for a couple of seconds, but at least you would know this is exactly what God has asked you to do, and you need to do it. But this past week, as everything seemed to be crumbling, I kept thinking back to this passage of Scripture, going back to Jairus, as we're going to see here, and him going through the ordeal with his daughter. And God's timing in this, to him, might not have seemed perfect, but it was. He was going to show Jairus that his work was the only work that was going to be able to heal his daughter. So tonight, if you will look with me, we're going to start in chapter 5. Title of my message tonight, flip back one screen, guys. It is God's, I said it was God's perfect timing. And it comes from, I told you all, my favorite passage of Scripture in Mark. And we see two people from complete opposite realms of the spectrum. So you've got Jairus, who was a synagogue leader, and you also have an outcast, a woman who had been, she had been medically, I mean, I don't even know what the word to say is, but she was very bad off for 12 years. She had had the issue, and she was in dire need. But one person tonight, or in this time, is going to bring both of them together for the same reason. And I love this passage because no matter if you're rich or if you're poor, if you're sick or if you're in good health, if you're young or you're old, the one thing that everybody needs in their life is Jesus. And no matter the cost, these two individuals that we're going to look at tonight knew that Jesus was the only one that was going to be able to bring them healing. So let's look. We're going to be Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. We'll start out with. And it says, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and while he was at sea, one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He begged him earnestly, my little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can get well and live. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him. If you'll pray with me, we'll start into the message. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to be able to come and to preach your word tonight, God. Lord, I just ask you that through this next few minutes, you just show us, God, that your timing, it is perfect. Things might not go the way that we want it to, but your plan and your path for us in our life, it is perfect, and we just need to step back and remember that you've got a plan for everything going on in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight, we're talking about Jairus. So first, I want to ask you a question. You can just answer it to yourself there, but what is faith? You know, when I started thinking about this past week, faith to me, and I looked it up through a definition too, so I've got backup for this. Faith is placing your full trust in someone or something. You know, as faith as a Christian, for us, it's very vital to what we believe in. You know, we believe in faith that Jesus was born into this world a virgin. We have faith that he lived a perfect and a blameless life. That's what the Bible tells us. We have faith that he died on a cross for our sins, and he paid that debt for us that nobody else could pay. And we have faith that after 3 days in the grave, he finally rose again. And that's what completed our salvation. And I have faith that one day Jesus is going to come back for his church and his people who have accepted that gift of salvation, and he's going to take us home to heaven one day. So that is faith as a Christian. It's huge. But faith here to me, it seems absolutely, honestly crazy to me that Jairus at this point in time is coming to Jesus. And we'll see here. Here in verse 22, we see a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell at the feet of Jesus. Now, Jairus, I just said, he was a ruler of the synagogue. The ruler of the synagogue was a man that the Jews would have highly respected. You know, it's not unlikely at all that Jairus, you know, I don't know if it was before this or after this, that there was a centurion's little girl that needed to be healed, and Jesus did that healing. And I think most people, when I read through this or study it, they say that Jairus could have been there at this time that she was healed. And you know, for me, thinking of this, Jairus knew firsthand that Jesus could heal. But in this instance, Jairus needed to have enough faith to come to Jesus and ask him to do the healing for his daughter. Verse number 22 says here, he came and he saw Jesus and he fell at his feet. So let's take a step into Jairus' shoes for just a second, and I think we can all relate to this. So have you all ever taken something to the Lord knowing that he could heal or change a situation going on in your life? I know that I have. Have you ever been to the place like Jairus was here, where all you know is that you can get down on your knees and you can pray to God? At this point in time, he threw himself at Jesus. I know I've been there. And I know that there's been many times that God has told me, especially in his word, to bring our burdens and our cares to him, because he's the one that's going to take care of those for us. And I got two scriptures here that I'll give you can write down that tells us that. He tells us that when things get tough, you bring it to him. Matthew 11:28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's pretty big. He tells us to come and do that. Psalm 55:22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So let me ask you this tonight. The Bible tells us here that if you are heavy laden, you're to bring it to Jesus. You have things that are going on in your life that are beyond your control, and you feel like things are sinking. That's how I felt this week. I felt like my world has completely been sinking. But you know what? The Bible tells us that we're to cast our burdens upon the Lord. He will sustain you. So I'll give you a little education. Sustain here, I looked up the definition of this too. It says to strengthen or support physically or mentally. That's what sustain means, to support and strengthen physically or mentally. As Christians, our strength comes from who? It comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from anything else other than him. And without him, you know, the longer that I live, I'm understanding I don't know how people get through this life without having Jesus in their life. That's why when people that don't know Jesus, they try to sustain themselves in the things of this world. Some of those things might be money, might be drugs, could be sex or power. They try to fill the void in their life that they can't fill on their own. That's that burden that God puts in us when we're born into this world, that soul that we're born with. The only thing that can truly sustain us and satisfy us is Jesus. That's how we were created. And if people would just understand that they just need to quit looking everywhere else and look to Jesus, that's who can fix their problems. Jesus, like I said, he's the only thing that can complete us and fill that void. And Jairus, he knew that Jesus was going to be the only person who could bring him and his family peace for his daughter and bring that complete healing. You know, I can't help but to believe that one day when we see Jesus, we're going to do the same thing that Jairus did. We're going to fall to our feet in complete and utter worship to him, because I think that's the only thing that we're going to be able to do at that point in time. I know people say that I'm going to do this or that when I see Jesus. I think when we see him, we're just going to be on our face in complete and utter worship towards him. So in that moment, though, Jairus, being a Jewish delegate, he didn't care about his political standing at that point in time. All he knew that he had found Jesus and he needed his help. I gave this illustration, I think it was this morning, when we were going over this in Sunday school, but when you think about Jairus going to meet Jesus, I want you to think about a large crowd. Like I gave them the illustration of a big concert. There are thousands of people there, and you are having to try to find one person that you may not fully recognize, but you need them to come and help you in a life-threatening situation. Can you imagine how nerve-wracking that would have been? I can't imagine that. That somebody that you know is going to die if you can't get to them and bring them there. That's what Jairus was going through. He had to go, and he found Jesus. He had heard that Jesus was going to be in the area. Look what verse number 24 says. After Jairus had pleaded his case with Jesus to save his daughter, it says this. So Jesus went with him. You know, Jesus didn't even say a word. I love that. The Bible says that he went with him, and Jesus knew that Jairus had come to him in faith, knowing that Jesus was the only thing that could bring ultimate healing. That's pretty cool. At this point, I think of Jairus' hope. You know, he had done the impossible already. He found Jesus. He was going to bring him back to his house to heal his daughter. And he knew time was running out, and he didn't have that much time to get back. And they're on their way. That's where the scene is setting. And there's going to be an interruption in verses 25 and 26. It says, "Now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years endured much under doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not able to get help at all. On the contrary, she became worse." Here we see a woman that for 12 long years had battled a sickness and is now, I would think, at her breaking point. She has no clue else of what to do. Verse 26 makes it known that she had suffered embarrassment, pain, disappointment, and financial ruin. And you know, we were going through it. That word here that says that she was bleeding for 12 years, in other translations of the Bible says that she was hemorrhaging blood. So when I think about this, just to even go out in public and get the things that she needed, she was going to suffer embarrassment because of that, because she was physically affected by this illness that she was having. And the doctors, what they did is they kind of do, I think, what they do today too. They couldn't really diagnose her, but they would just take her money. They'd keep taking her money and taking her money until the point to where they couldn't get any more money because she didn't have any left. And that's where she is at right now. But verse number 27 says, "Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing." You know, she heard about Jesus. And this was the best news this woman had heard, and I think at least in 12 years. And just like Jairus did, she took that step in faith, knowing that Jesus could heal her. And verse 28 says that she actually took that step. "For she said," in verse number 28, "for she said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be made well." And it says, "Instantly, her flow of blood ceased. And she was sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction." You know, she had enough faith that if she just came and she touched Jesus, that she was going to be healed. You know, the Bible tells us that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can move the mountain. So let me ask you this, what does that say about our faith today? You know, I don't see too many people moving mountains today. And you know, Jesus tells us, the Bible tells us that if we have just that little bit of faith, we can do it. And you know, this is kind of the reason why I get at that. You know, we have these things go on in our life, and we say that we turn it over to Jesus. But in the back of our mind, we're thinking, what can I do to help this situation? What can I do to make this situation better? Instead of, you know what, turning it fully over to God, knowing that he's the only one that can help us in that situation. That's what this girl did. She came to Jesus knowing that he was the only one that could heal her, and he did. And with her faith and Jesus' power, the sickness that she had suffered for 12 years was gone. Jesus took her pain and embarrassment and gave her life back. I can't imagine the joy that she'd have felt just then. She's going to have her life back. She's going to be able to do things now. She's going to be able to go out and tell people what Jesus did for her. And you know, verse number 30, let's look what it says. "At once, Jesus realized in himself that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' His disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, who touched me?'" You know, the disciples here, I don't know if this is the best word to say for this, but they ask a lot of dumb questions. You know, they have been with Jesus now for a while. They've seen him do all these miracles. They know what he can do. And yet they ask him this type of question. "Jesus, you're in a crowd of who knows how much, and you're asking who one person touched you." You know, you'd think they would wisen up, but you keep going throughout the Bible, they don't get any smarter for some reason. I think it's a lot of us today. We don't get any smarter as we go on. But Jesus here asked a question, who touched me? Jesus knew who it was who touched him. Jesus didn't have to ask the question, but I imagine that he was giving this lady a chance to step out and publicly admit that she had came to him for his healing power and that she was healed. You know, Jesus knew she had enough faith to come to him to ask for healing, but he wanted to make sure that she knew in herself she had enough faith to publicly admit it. You know, I think that he asks us to do the same thing. In Romans 10, verses 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But it doesn't tell us just that if we believe that. It tells us if we also confess it. And I think that's what Jesus was doing for this lady here. He was giving her the opportunity to come out and confess it, just like he does with us when we accept him into our life. And this woman, she actually does that. She does it in verse 32 through 34. It says, but when he was looking around to see who had done this, the woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction. You know, this woman answered Jesus' question with great boldness, I think. You know, it says that she was trembling and scared. You know, at that point in time, she probably was. But by the end of her talking, I imagine that her boldness was high. She knew what she was doing. She knew the healing that she had got. So let me ask you a question. Do you have the same boldness to let others know what Jesus has done for you, just like this woman did? You know, I think David said earlier this morning, we go on a mission field every day, whether it be to work, whether it be to our friends, whether it be to school, to a ball field. And how often do you take that opportunity to share with other people what Jesus has done to change your life? I don't do it nearly enough, but you know, I'm learning that the older that I get, every day that we have is a gift. And every day that we have is one that we're not going to get back again. So I'm trying to start to think this way. What can I do today for Jesus to truly change my life today? What can he do to help me change my life? And what can I do to help someone else today? It could be that he puts you in that conversation at work that might get uncomfortable, that you tell someone about Jesus that's struggling with something. Or it could be that you do that with one of your friends. You know, he doesn't put you in places just by chance. He knows what he's doing. He knows that plan and that path that he has got for you, and you don't just happen up on places that you don't think you're supposed to be. God's got a plan for where you go. So, you know, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we let our pride get in the way with us sharing Jesus with the world. I know that I do. We don't want to be labeled as different. But, you know, the more I think about this, the only one that we should worry about how they view us is Jesus. The rest of the people on this world, you know, their opinions, they matter somewhat, but Jesus' opinion is the only one that truly matters in the end. And we need to do better at sharing what he's done for us on a daily basis. And like I said, every day is a gift. So patiently waiting, I think about Jairus here. So he has went from finding Jesus to watching a miracle happen to now he's patiently waiting to say, Jesus, let's get back to the house. I have something for you to do. Let's look at verses 35 through 43. We'll start with 35. And while he was speaking, people came from the synagogue's leader's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? You know, the news that Jairus feared finally had become a reality. His daughter was dead. And I can't imagine the emotions that he would have been feeling here. You know, this morning, I kind of seen this in a whole new light. I didn't really think this before. You know, Jairus, he could have thought about this in one of two ways. You could have think that he could have either thought this was a defeat and it's done, or he could have thought, you know, and this is kind of what I'm leaning more towards now, you know, I've still got Jesus and anything is possible with Jesus. And, you know, that's where he was at. But how many times have we thought that a situation in our life was too far gone, that nothing else could be done, and your worst fear has now become your reality? You see, we get into situations where we let fear dictate everything in our life. We allow fear to creep in and control us. I mean, am I the only one that does that? I think we all do. The fear of the unknown and the what-ifs in this life, I think it can eat us up. if we allow our mind to go there. But if you look what Jesus said in verse number 36, it says, don't be afraid, only believe. And right now tonight, I don't know where you're at in life right now, but this verse right here can give you great hope. So the God over all of creation cares for you and is telling you to don't be afraid, to only believe in Him. You see, that fear and that faith that we have, it pulls in complete different directions. You know, fear, it holds us captive. For me, it's like I'm trapped and I'm shackled in a prison. You know, I'm bound and I can't move and can't go nowhere. But faith in Jesus will give you the power and the peace that can completely set you free. That's the only thing that can be done that way, is through Jesus. And He is the only one who can give you that true peace. So let's look at the next few verses, verses 37 through 43, and we'll see how Jesus showed him His healing power here. This says, He did not let anyone accompany Him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. You know, I think this is pretty interesting here, that He didn't let anybody else go with Him. And you know, at this point in time, it's going to tell us at the end here, Jesus says that His time has not come. And you know, that time is that crucifixion, that He was going to have to be crucified on a cross for us. And He was only going to let a small group of people see this miracle that was about to take place. Verse number 38 says, they came to the leader's house and they saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. You know, I can't imagine the scene of this. I mean, you think about it. At this point in time, a little girl has passed away and her family is crushed. So I can't imagine the amount of emotions that is going through these people. I mean, it was complete devastation. And it says, verse number 39, He went in and said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep. Verse 40 says, they laughed at Him, but He put them all outside, and He took the child's father and mother and those who were with them and entered the place where the child was. You could take a little humor from this. I know this is a serious passage, but I imagine Jesus put all of them in a timeout. He says, people, you don't know who I am. He put them outside, and He only took the people that He had designated to be there for this miracle to be put in. And everybody else that laughed at Him, He told them, get out. That's basically what He did, what the Bible tells us. Verse 41 says, and then He took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl got up and began to walk, and she was 12 years old. And at this, they were utterly astounded. Then He gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and He told them to give her something to eat. You know, Jesus did here something that only Jesus could do. He brought complete healing to this girl. You know, when I think about God's timing in our life and in the Bible, you know, they thought that when He came to heal Lazarus, that He was late. They thought, Jesus, you were 4 days late. If you had only had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But that wasn't part of God's plan. God knew that He was going to be able to bring Him back from the dead. Jesus knew that He was going to be able to bring Him back from the dead. And it was on His terms and on His time. Same thing happened through this little girl here today. Jesus knew, I think He knew that the little girl was going to pass, but He knew that He was going to be able to show this group of people what His power can do and what the God Almighty, what He can do as well. And that's what Jesus did here. But Jairus, I imagine, like I said earlier, he had a lot of emotions running through him. You know, at this point, he went from going on a journey to find Jesus, to actually finding Jesus, to having someone stop him from getting to the house. I mean, he made a complete detour and stopped him. You know, and Jairus, he also witnessed this lady be healed. So Jairus knew that Jesus could heal. We need to get him back home. And Jairus also went to hearing that his daughter had passed away. I mean, this emotion roller coaster is up and down. And then he also went to seeing Jesus bring her back from the dead. You know, Jesus here had done the impossible for Jairus. You know, he wants to do the same for you tonight. I've said this a lot, and I know life is hard. Things can change in a blink of an eye. You can get news that's devastating. Peace and the comfort that you need tonight only comes from Jesus. And if you've not experienced that, you don't know what true peace is. True peace, I can tell you this, it is. It's amazing when you have it, because when you're going through something, it is absolutely terrible to not have that peace. One of the facts that I see here tonight, and the Bible makes known, the length and time for these two individuals. You know, the little girl, Jairus' daughter, she was 12 years old. And they had experienced a great amount of joy for those 12 years watching that girl grow. Also, 12 years, this woman had experienced complete, I say, hell on earth. She had went through so much in this amount of time that she was to her breaking point that only Jesus could heal her. And you know, they both experienced that true healing power from Jesus, and they had enough faith to bring their problems to him, knowing that he was the only one that could help them. So now I don't want to leave you with a story. I think I've read this before, but I love this story. It says, a pastor asked one of his older deacons of a church to close a service in prayer. So he began to pray. Father, I don't like buttermilk. You know, the pastor started to seem concerned at this point. Father, I don't like lard. Pastor opens his eyes and looked at the deacon. Father, I don't like flour. The pastor's probably thinking at this point in time, I need to stop him. But Lord, when the buttermilk, the lard, and the flour are mixed together and baked, they make something wonderful. Father, I sure do like biscuits. So Father, help us to know that whatever you are mixing in our lives will work out to be good, even if we don't like the ingredients of our life right now. And you know, tonight, you might be letting that fear rule your life. Things may not be going the way that you want it to go, and you have no clue how it's going to end up. For me, I hate the unknown. I really do, and I don't think I'm the only one in that. I like to have a plan and know what's going on. I even like to have it on vacation, as odd as that may sound. I need to know what we're doing. Drives my wife insane. But God's got a plan for what you're going through. Even though it may not seem clear to you at the time, for me in my life, from my experience, God's plan always seems to get revealed to me after I go through the storm. He shows me, you know what, this is the reason why you went through this. And you know, during that time, you could have greatly helped somebody and you wouldn't have even known it. But God's got a plan and a perfect plan to get you through that life. So God is mixing and baking, and when he gets done with you, it'll be better than biscuits, I promise you that. It'll be for your good and for his glory. So maybe today you're searching for Jesus. Maybe today you're searching for that peace that only Jesus can give. Maybe today you're needing to step out in faith and admit that you need Jesus as a Savior. It's hard to do. It's hard to do, especially, I know, whenever I think about telling the gospel to kids. We had a couple of new kids this past Wednesday night, and I don't think they've grown up in church. So just being able to go through Bible with them and show them things for the first time is truly amazing. That's why I love working with kids. You think about it. Most people, when they accept Jesus into their life, they're from the age of 5 to 18. Most people don't get saved from the time after 18. Because they don't, I don't know what it is. They let that pride of life get inside of them, and they think, you know what? I don't want people to look at me any different for me coming up and asking Jesus to save me. And you know, if you're letting that pride and that fear hold you back tonight for whatever people think about you, don't do that. Jesus knows, and he's the only one that matters, and he's wanting to save you tonight. So if you'll bow your heads with me, we'll pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us that your plan for our life, it is perfect. You know, we might not think that it's perfect at the time, but whenever we go through something, you're going to help us to get through it. There's a reason and a purpose for everything that happens in our life. So God, I just ask you to help us to have faith like Jairus did, to step out and to know that Jesus can heal. And I ask you to give us the faith like this woman had as well, knowing that if she only touched Jesus, that he would heal her, and he did. So God, tonight, I don't know what's going on in everybody's lives, God, but you give them the peace and the comfort that they need. And if there's one here tonight that's not saved, I just ask that you just work at their heart, God, and let them know that they need to be saved before they leave here, God, that time is not a guarantee in this world. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. If you'll stand with us, we're going to sing Just As I Am.